Was it something in the air? Eric Weiner traveled to cities that were famous for their great thinkers and innovators. He wanted to see what it was about their surroundings or their social setting that may have stimulated the likes of Socrates, Michelangelo, Leonardo, Beethoven, Freud, people like these who come up with their most innovative ideas, and see how it might work for us today. Eric explains in just a bit. And later in the hour, Rick Antonsen tells us about his adventures going all the way to the fabled city of Timbuktu for a haircut. We'll also stumble onto a choir practice in a small town in Wales. By the way, this is episode number 750 of Travel with Rick Steves, and with it, we're celebrating 19 years since airing our very first show. Let's start the hour checking in with Italian journalist and social commentator Beppe Severnini. Beppe says what he noticed about how Italians coped during the pandemic revealed a lot of the wisdom and character of his fellow citizens and how they approach life. He's here to explain. Beppe, welcome back.
Well, it's a pleasure, as always.
You know, connecting with people is key to good travel, as you know well. Part of the joy of being in Italy is just being on a square, being out during the passeggiata and observing. And of course, Italians are famously communicating with their hands and with tiny words. And they've got wonderful phrases, and a couple of little phrases can go a long way. For instance, piano piano. In Italian, you say little by little a lot, don't you?
Piano piano literally means slow, slow. Means, you know, gradually, take it, you know, step by step. But in Italy, we say piano piano. Again, it would be slow, slow.
Slow, slow. How about acqua in bocca?
Acqua in bocca means water in your mouth. It means hush, be quiet, don't say anything. And why? Because if you have water in your mouth, you cannot speak. So acqua in bocca means be quiet, don't say anything.
It's a clever way to just give people some wisdom from time.
Absolutely.
You have a phrase in Italian that that might explain how Italians live so well. I don't know the Italian word, but it's like eat well, laugh often, love much. Mangia bene, ridi spesso, ama molto.
Yes, absolutely. It's, you know, they made films and books about it. But I think that, you know, using your heart, amare doesn't mean it's not only a sexual thing or sentiment, or, you know, among lovers, you can love your children, your grandchildren, as we know, Rick. You love your parents. That is love as well. And food is in your sentence as well. Means eating well, not eating much, but eating well. It's important. Italians take a great deal of attention in what they eat, the variety, the textural, the cooking, the times. And I think it's something that people think we are making it up. We are acting. Okay, they want to impress us with their knowledge. No, no, no. You put six Italians around the table, they spend 20 minutes talking about what they have in front of them and possibly what they're going to have in the evening.
When we try to understand Italy through the language, through the way people use their time, through the way people embrace the chaos, and through the way people will have the passeggiata and be together on the streets, it's interesting that there are regional differences in your country. Italy is about the size of California, and there's clearly a north and a south. In fact, in your book, Italian Lessons, you wrote that the north and the south fight like an old married couple. What did you mean about that?
I mean, an old married couple often, hopefully, still love each other, but they cannot help but fighting and discussing and arguing and protesting. And that's what we do. Like, we are married. It's the same with Europe and America. We're married to each other. America can have a fling with Asia or other part of the world. You're married to us. Same thing with Italy, north and south. To be honest, the luckiest part of Italy is the north, where I am from. It's wealthier, and that's unfair, because those differences are present in other countries in Europe. France, Germany, Poland, England, of course. North of England is very different than the south of England, but somehow most of those countries manage to patch it up, to reduce those differences. In Italy, those differences between north and south are still around, and it's a problem.
What are the, if you were to sum it up for people that don't know Italy well, what's the basis of the stress between North and South? How is life different between the North and the South?
Okay, thinks of you, Rick. You think of three things you really like about Italy and three things you don't like so much about Italy. Okay, the South is times two for all of them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. For years I was telling people, if you like Italy as far south as Rome, go further south, it just gets better. If Italy's getting on your nerves by the time you get to Rome, don't go farther south, it gets worse.
Okay, it's another way of putting it. The South is Italy times two.
That's it. If we are
sort of quick off the mark, they are really quick off the mark in the South. But if we somehow, Italians are unreliable, that's really our weakest point, I think, in terms of, in the South, they tend to be a bit more unreliable than we are, and so on and so forth.
And up in the north where you live, there's that Germanic influence in Lombardy, right, which tempers the Italian.
Yes, probably my background as yours is Norwegian. Mine is probably German. We looked up my name, but we're talking 1,000 years. I don't know. My ancestors were farmers in Crema 500 years ago. So probably going back, they were German. In Italy, Italy is a fantastic mixed salad. You have everything of everyone in the same country, as you have in America. That's why when I hear some people say, oh, we want the pure Italian. What, pure what? Italy is a genetic mess, and thanks God for that.
Yeah, well, that's the reason we like to go there. It's unpredictable. Around every corner, you'll find something very entertaining, and it's a work in progress. Beppe Severnini writes a popular column at Italy's largest circulation daily newspaper in Milan. He's giving us a cozy look at how Italians approach life right now on Travel with Rick Steves from his home in historic Crema, just outside Milan. Beppe's books in English include Italian Lessons, 50 Things We Know About Life Now, Off the Rail, A Train Trip Through Life, and Ciao America, An Italian Discovers the U.S. Beppe, when I was reading through your book, Italian Lessons, 50 Things We Know About Life Now, it occurred to me I need to update my sidebar in my guidebook about Rome and Milan. I have an out-of-date comparison of Rome and Milan, and in your book you wrote how the longtime rivalry is on pause now, as it seems Rome is no longer as competitive. You've got nieces in Rome, right? And when they come to Milan, they commented to you on what they saw. What did your Roman nieces notice when they came to Milan?
My Roman nieces, my Roman friends of all ages, my Roman colleagues, you talk to all of them, and they'll say, no matter what, that this rivalry doesn't make sense anymore, because Milan is an active, pulsing, growing city, wealthy, you know, with more opportunity, and Rome has got a huge problem in terms of public transport, parking, the condition of the situation on the street, garbage. Garbage is a huge problem, uncollected trash, okay? We're talking about a major European capital, and I'm afraid tourists notice that. And to say this, as an Italian, not as a Milanese, as an Italian, is very painful, but it has to be said. And they somehow, Rome cannot get its act together and solve those two or three things, public transport and collecting trash. You solve those two and the rest will follow.
Beppe, it's so great to talk with you, and it's so fun to be able to share ideas with somebody who spent a career as a journalist thinking about what makes Italy so Italian. If you've got friends from the United States visiting Italy, what do you wish they would bring with their visit in the way of attitude to enjoy their time in Italy the most?
Yes, I do have American friends actually quite often coming to see me. Even in Crema, we are now famous for the film Call Me By Your Name, was actually set, and the setting was in Crema. So we have a lot of people say, oh, we want to see what the countryside in the summer, ba ba bam. So what do I say to my American friends? Two things. Number one, stay in Crema with me a few days and travel and see some of the P cities. The P cities are the key to Italy. Parma, Pisa, Padova, Pavia, Piacenza, Perugia, a P city, Pordenone, you cannot get it wrong. And then, even more important, never, ever a cappuccino after 11 in the morning. It's not only immoral, it's illegal.
Okay, so first of all, review the P cities again for me. I've got to get this straight on my map here.
Padua, Padova, Parma, Perugia, Piacenza, Pavia, Pordenone, Pisa, all of those.
And you know, the great thing about that is Italy is one of the most over-touristed, least explored countries that I know. And none of those cities would be overexposed. Those are places that somebody who thinks they know Italy well has never been to, with the exception of Pisa. And in Pisa, they just go to the Piazza of Miracles with the Leaning Tower, and they didn't even look at the rest of the town. So don't worry about the Leaning Tower. Pisa is a cultural power in itself. So those are your P cities. You could build a whole itinerary around that. And even if you don't go to Venice, Florence, Rome, and Assisi and Siena, you can learn a lot about Italy. And then why would you not have a cappuccino after 11 o'clock?
It's a dogma. It's immoral and it's illegal and you don't do it, period.
Oh, it's a simple dogma with no basis in logic.
Absolutely. Dogma. Trust me. I'm Italian. Don't do it.
And this relates to the last point. You have 50 points in your book. It's called Italian Lessons, 50 Things We Know About Life Now. And in the very last page of your beautiful book, you say, the last trait of being Italian that you want to celebrate, we smile in spite of everything. And let's face it, that's not always easy. What exactly do you mean there?
Well, I work all my life to come up with that. You read it so beautifully. Actually, do it again. I don't have anything to add. But we really smile in spite of everything. That's not always easy.
That's not always easy. But the Italians, you could be surrounded by all sorts of beautiful chaos, bella chaos. Just smile. And don't have a cappuccino after 11 a.m.
No way. Don't do it. Don't.
Beppe Severnini, mille grazie. Buon lavoro. And complimenti. There are my Italian words.
Grazie mille. A presto.
Ciao. Beppe describes what it was like to teach a few words of Italian to Chinese college students. That's in an extra to today's show. You can hear it at ricksteves.com/radio. Up next, Eric Weiner looks at what Renaissance Florence and ancient Athens have in common with California's Silicon Valley. And Rick Antonsen tells us about his trip to Timbuktu, back before Mali became too dangerous to visit. It's Travel with Rick Steves.